Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty weird.
Was it pretty cool and pretty weird?
Just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That
train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounce kids?
Hitler.
Just prepare to. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is January 10th, 2016. This is episode 151, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering games against Miami, Orlando, and New Orleans. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First, also from Houston, it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Shout out to John Harper, who is preoccupied. You know, he was suspended earlier, but now his enforcing skills are needed in Southeast Oregon.
Oh, man.
To handle this federal occupation situation. So we can't really fully disclose what he's getting into right now for legal reasons, but let it be known that he's doing the good work right now.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Yeah, shout out, Harper. Be safe. Also... I guess it's finally winter in Indianapolis, and I am super jealous that you guys are in Houston. How is it out there? Is it, like, nice? It's warm?
It's pretty cold.
Is it cold?
It's going to hit freezing tonight, but there's no snow.
Yeah, it's, like, sunny and 55-ish. Yeah.
Oh, that's cold, is it, Joe?
Well, during the day, during the day you wear a sweatshirt or a jacket.
Okay.
At night, it gets cold, though. But during the day, it's pretty good.
Yep. It's not as nice. In New Orleans was much better weather.
Yes,
much warmer.
Yeah, so you guys are on UndebeatCon and following the Pacers around the country in awesome, awesome spots. You hear all about it.
Well, tune in. We're going to have a special treat for fans. The Thursday show will recap in more detail our travel exploits, if you will. But we got some Pacers things to cover this week. Anything else? You want to do any quick NBA news?
Well, I think the one change we've seen recently here, Lionel Hollins, former coach of Memphis, was the current coach of the Nets, was let go. And I think this is – I think he's what's been holding them back. You know, the team was just ready to explode onto the scene. The Atlantic Conference or the Atlantic Division has just been held back by their coaches. That's been the issue, and he's gone. So what are you going to do with when the Nets win it all, Jason?
Well, I'm going to go visit my sister in Brooklyn and
join the celebration.
Set the town on fire. Yeah,
figuratively,
literally, by the new definition.
Oh, I see.
Of literally, no, I don't understand this move because I think Lionel Hollins is a pretty good coach, and the complement of players that he has is suboptimal.
And they, it's very kind of you to say.
And then they also lost arguably their most important player in Jarrett Jack, who went down with the ACL injury just last week. So I don't know what he's expected to do with this poo-poo platter of quasi-NBA talents.
I mean, Joe Johnson is done. I mean, he is completely cooked. The guy is doing nothing, and he's still getting paid $20 million. Yeah, Jarrett Jack and Brook Lopez were really their only two NBA players, and you lose Jarrett Jack. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win very many games. I don't care who's, doing the X and O's.
I was going to say maybe Hollins was getting fired because he was doing too good of a job, because they're better than the net or better than the Sixers, but they don't have their first round draft pick, so
so it wouldn't even really benefit them
to tank. Yeah. Anyway,
Lionel, I need you to come into the office. It's not good news. You're fired. I don't know. I've got no answer. It's not you. It's me. I don't know. Here, have $1 million.
Is that's just Prokhorov's parting gift for anybody who calls into his office?
Why not? Why not, right? He's like, I feel bad about this. Let's give you $1 million. I really kind of just want to piss off Prokhorov. That's what I want to do. Just get him, be called into the office.
I mean, if that's what you get out of it.
Yeah. I think probably Lionel figured that out. I think that was the whole deal.
You think, is that your retirement plan, is just to piss off Prokhorov?
Yeah.
It's that or hit the $1.3 billion Powerball jackpot.
Sure. People play it more when it gets higher. I don't understand that. The odds don't change. Also, I need a better plan than assuming this thing's going to ever make me money. So I think the Prokhorov thing is probably more realistic.
Oh, yeah, go ahead whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
The three Pacer games to talk about this week. The first one, January 4th, Indiana travels to Miami. They come up short in this one, 100-103. Jason, you looked, right before we started recording, you watched the final play of regulation again.
Mm-hmm.
And you did not have a smile on your face. Why was that?
Because this game was egregious at some level, I thought. Actually, I didn't get to see this game because it was on NBA TV, and I don't have a cable package, so I can't
get... You only paid a bunch of money for the league
for all of the NBA games, but I couldn't watch this one. So I actually listened to Mark Boyle on the radio, which was a really nice...
Sure.
It's been a while since I've done that. It's an enjoyable experience. But yeah, it comes down. It's a close back and forth game kind of the whole time. The Pacers are up two with about 20 seconds left, 10 seconds left, something like that. Miami runs a play where they're going to bring Dwayne Wade around a screen and let him, either penetrate or try to make a play. And he's got Paul George guarding him. Paul George is a good defender, so Eric Spoelstra designs a really intense screening system where Chris Bosh sets the screen literally at the dotted line in the lane, and then during the screening process moves all the way past the three-point line, like hindering Paul George's ability to get around the screen the entire time. No foul was called. I mean, it's just it was egregious. So I don't know how you don't call that.
Moving screens are called if you take a step or if you move your hips too much.
Yep.
Let alone if you travel 15 feet. So, but you don't want to let the referees to decide the game. So, but they did anyway.
Sure.
No. It's a I know what you're saying.
Well, and to rub salt in the wounds, the NBA came out the next day and said, yeah, that should have been called a foul. So that's now twice in the last week that we have lost a game in overtime, heartbreakers in overtime. That both we were in positions to win both of those games, right? And in part, those wins were taken away by questionable officiating, I would say.
Do you worry that the questionable officiating is coming out of a rep that we've gotten or that Paul George has gotten? Like, do you think Paul George's whining and bitching has gotten him in a position where he's people are swallowing their whistle?
I don't know. I'd like to think not. I mean, I don't know that his level of complaining or Frank's level of complaining is any more so than any other team's superstar and or coach, you know, together. So why single this guy out?
Sure.
I mean, I think it's just poor
officiating,
right? I mean, we were joking during the game. We'll talk about it later. The New Orleans game, there were moments where the referees swallowed the whistles, and our theory was they wanted to get out into the French Quarter and party.
And for what it's worth, I think that's a smart move.
And this game was in Miami, so maybe the same type of thing was going on. Although this situation actually extended the game because it allowed Miami to tie it. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. This game frustrated me. You know, we should have won this game. And
were ahead basically the whole game.
Yeah. It's very similar to the Chicago game. We went in, we established the pace, we were in control, and then we lost it down the stretch. And it's hard to win on the road. It is. And I'm not sure that we're a good enough team yet to do that. So maybe that's the issue. But this is another lost opportunity. For me, I didn't, you know, during gameplay, I didn't notice the screen. I don't even know if Mark Boyle called that during the game.
To my surprise, actually, when I watched the replay, I was surprised that Mark Boyle wasn't more upset about that. That screen, because he can be a curmudgeonly old dude. Like, in fact, this game was delayed by 20 or 30 minutes, the start time. And so I'm tuning in, I'm like cooking some dinner and listening to the game, and it's just Mark Boyle. It was no Austin Crozier, no Slick with him. And so he's just like describing the atmosphere. The lights are out, right?
Yeah.
In this arena. And he's just talking, he's like, it's so loud in here. It's like a club with 18,000 people. There's this PA announcer that just keeps yelling things. Like, why are we doing this? What's wrong with the lights? He's like getting super agitated. He does not like that arena at all. Like,
we still went toe to toe with them in their house, short two of our main guys. So there's that.
Yeah, I thought that we played encouragingly well at some level. Like you were saying, it's hard to get road wins in the NBA. It's just a frustrating thing to drop. Now, in the past week, those are two games against our two biggest rivals that we lost in overtime at their place that we should have won. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the breaks of the season. Those things will happen. And we talked last week about what you want to see out of your team is them figuring out ways to win games like this where it's close down the stretch. I mean, that's NBA basketball. And luckily, I think the rest of the week, the Pacers are starting to show that they're learning how to win these games, which I think is a real skill.
Winning down the stretch on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's some grown man-ish.
Smith.
Right.
Wednesday, January 6th, Pacers travel to Orlando. And this one was a slugfest defensive battle. Pacers win at 95-86. You guys were there last year.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you call that trip? What is that?
I don't think we came up with the name.
Okay.
I mean, it was Unbeatacon 4.
Okay.
I know that much. It was the Florida Flounder? No.
It might have been that. I don't know.
But this, the Pacers beat the Magic, and it's a tough, you know, they got down, and it's a team that I thought they were gonna lose that game. I didn't think, they were down for a while, but sort of fought back and really took over the end of the game. But I don't think they had much control until late in the game.
Yeah, this was just ugly. I think if Orlando could hit a jump shot, they might have won this game. They just couldn't hit anything. And, I'll give some credit to our defense, but they had some pretty good looks as well. I like this young core of players. I think Orlando is kind of a young, exciting team, but They might be missing some shooting in their makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been playing for, you know, I've been watching them. I've been tracking their progress, you know, in the standings. And once we played them, I mean, you're right, Joey, there was a little drama to this. Like, we weren't playing great. We could have lost this, but I wasn't as afraid of them as I thought I might have been.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely, and we talked about this going into the season, that was definitely their weakness, is they needed another shooter. And, you know, that's the case with a lot of teams, I guess. And the other thing is that they're still young, so they're learning how to play. But they're getting there. I mean, they were without Elfrid Payton this game, so they don't have their,
right,
their point guard.
Oladipo plays very well. That kid's good.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's legit. But, yeah, I mean, just to speak to my point, though, they shot 6 of 31 from three-point range, 19%. That is not good. You hit two more of those, and you've got an actual game on your hands.
Well, the Pacers, likewise, were only 6 of 22. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I thought that this was, yeah, just a nice professional win. Mm-hmm. You know, when you don't get a great game out of anybody, but you kind of grinded out possessions and played really good defense. I mean, they held Orlando to 86 points, which is a nice level, I guess.
Yeah.
And the Pacers are quite successful when they do that. The other interesting thing I wanted to talk about in this game is, so last week we spent a lot of time talking about Solomon Hill doing really good things and really earning his minutes. But then all of a sudden in this game, Glenn Robinson got all those minutes. Is there a reason for that, do you guys think? Like, did Solomon Hill, you know, since I didn't get to watch the Miami game, was he particularly ineffective in that game and thus, or does Frank Vogel just want to, you know, keep these guys, keep it fresh, make sure they're competing for that position?
I would say that I think it's the latter, where he's looking to just get all the different players some time on the court. You know, Solomon Hill did play really well. I don't think he did anything to not deserve to play, but, you know, he wasn't dominant enough that you don't want to give somebody else a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, Chase Buttinger is kind of the recipient of no playing time because of this, but, mm-hmm. you know, he's played really well as well. I think, you know, he and Solomon Hill played well in different ways. Solomon doesn't have much offense, but he's just an amazing hustle defender. Mm-hmm. And Chase can get a little bit more defense and good, solid professional player. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time Glenn Robinson gets his shot as well. The third, I'm sorry. I didn't want you to get confused between which Glenn Robinsons.
Well, I thought the thing that the Pacers did super well in this game, I thought, was attack the basket and get to the line. They got to the line 29 times. Paul George especially was aggressive. He only ended up with 20 points, but I thought he was really instrumental in getting things going and like creating things on the offensive end. And this was a good win. And like you said, Joey, they played well down the stretch to kind of pull away and seal up the victory, which is what you want them to do, especially against a young Magic team, to secure this victory and get back on in winning ways.
I mean, you look at the score in the final two quarters, the second half, they put 29 and 29, and they hold Orlando to 21 and 27. You're going to win most games if you can do that. If you just outplay the team this entire second half. Mm-hmm. And I think the Pacers in general have done, we'll talk about this in the next game too, but in the second half, really picking up their game, coming out of the gate. And that's the way the team was 2 years ago, at least, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, when they were a force to be reckoned with. They would just come out in the third quarter and just, they would end the game right there, you know, the first like 8 minutes of the second half. Mm-hmm. To teams, at least, some of the mediocre to bad teams, they would just finish the game right there.
Dan Burke was definitely on the guys about a recommitment to defense. And I know that every time that we get a defensive win, one of the players interviewed says something like, we're getting back to Pacer basketball. I think there's still an identity in the locker room of being a defense of taking pride in that defense. And I think, you know, we don't have the same personnel that we had. We have to do it in different ways, but I'm glad that's still the mantra in the locker room.
Well, I think that leads well into the next game. This was last night, or two nights ago. Well, we've been traveling.
Two nights ago, Friday night.
Friday night, January 8th, Pacers play at New Orleans Pelicans. We were in the house. But Colson, to your point, the Pacers are now 16-0 when holding teams to under 95 points.
Nice.
They win this one 91-86. And that's what, you know, they defended well. They forced him into bad shots. And I thought strategically they let Anthony Davis dive into the crowd and hurt his back. Or like 3-4 minutes into the game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very disappointing. I mean, we were excited. We got good seats for this. And like, I was getting really excited to see Anthony Davis up close and personal. And then he, you know, an effort play early on, dives after this ball, jumps over his bench, and lands like awkwardly on empty seats, basically.
Right. A bunch of metal chairs.
Yeah. And then got up and was really hobbled and went back to the locker room. And we never saw him again.
That sucks.
Yeah. And I really blame the New Orleans fans. You know, if you get there and you're on time in those seats, they could have caught him.
Sure. Saved him. Yeah.
I mean, but the guy that came in to replace Anthony Davis, unheralded at some level, Ryan Anderson, came in and like took a 3-pointer right away. And hit it and was, like, giving us problems all night. Like, more he was like, a matchup problem.
I think more like Ryan Manderson. I was really impressed with him. I mean, I know he's, you know, he kind of did this game what he does. But, you know, he doesn't really get into the basket much. But he's a good three-point shooter. And he was, you know, he kept the Pacers busy.
Well, they were eating us a lot. They involved him in a lot of pick and pops. And the Pacers just had a really difficult time. Dealing with that, like basically you could see the guys after every play being like, no, you got to go over there and like do that. Like they just weren't thinking clearly. And then the other guy that was causing problems was Tyreke Evans, who, man, I forgot, when that guy is on top of his game, he is a special player. Like he can get by anybody. He can shoot decently well. Although one of my favorite highlights of the game was he, towards the end, shook Paul George out of his shoes and then did a step back three, and the crowd already was like, ooh, and then he just airballed so badly. I guess it wasn't Paul George that he shook it. Whoever was guarding him, he shook it. But yeah, and then on the offensive end, I thought the Pacers were, it seemed very difficult for them to manufacture buckets. Like I was really impressed with New Orleans's defensive pressure and intensity, which I did not expect. So Dante Cunningham, I thought, did an especially nice job making life difficult for Paul George. Yeah, I was impressed with the Pelicans. They did not look like an 11-22 team or whatever they are.
No,
especially without AD.
Exactly. Know? What really kept this in this game was the rebounding. They won the rebounding battle 54-14 and 14 offensive rebounds. And I'll tell you, if I was looking around some during the game, you see the New Orleans fans when they would pick up one of those offensive rebounds, mm-hmm. they just one guy kind of like pounded the seat in front of him, and others kind of like you know hang their head a little bit, because it's so frustrating when the opposing team is extending those possessions out, because they're going to score eventually.
Yeah, the offensive powerhouse in this game, Jan Mahimi.
Oof.
17 points, and he had a couple of those critical offensive rebounds down the stretch that really helped seal this game, because this was a tight game basically from the second quarter on. Pacers got out to a really slow start, but then once they got back in it, and really I thought executed well down the stretch and played good defense and kind of took control of the game in the last 5 minutes, basically. Yeah.
Were you all able to see Mahimi get hit or whatever in a scrum early on in the game? He gets his eye all
knocked. He got poked in the eye.
Yeah. Was that obvious from watching it live or no?
Well, I mean, he definitely immediately started grabbing his face.
Yeah.
They were going after a rebound.
Sure.
And so it was nothing, you know, malicious or anything. But yeah, I mean, you could tell right away that possession he like basically couldn't see.
Yeah.
Although he ended up taking a jump shot on that possession, or trying to drive to the basket, which was kind of interesting, I guess. But
well, it's I don't know if it made him angry or whatever, but he played very well. Double-double in this game, 10 boards. So
a couple big blocks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think one of the jokes from the coaches was we should poke him in the eye every game. So
I think, Joe, you were talking earlier about how he's been playing pretty well over the last couple weeks. Very active on the defensive end and getting after those offensive rebounds, which help extend possessions. And, you know, we need that because we're in a position right now where we're in a stretch of ball where we're not shooting the basketball very well. So we're going to have to find ways to get extra possessions. And that's one way to do it. The way not to do it, which the Pacers also did in this game, is set a season high record for turnovers.
Mm.
I think we had 25 total turnovers in this game, 21 of which were steals by the Pelicans, which allowed them to get out and transition and get easy buckets, I thought. So, yeah, I mean, a nice win when you're clearly aren't playing that well. And we got off to a really bad start. Could have got out of hand very quickly, but the guys fought, scratched and clawed their way back in it and get a nice win again, thanks to their defense, keeping the Pellies under 90 points, you know.
Shout out to CJ Miles, who, you know, was out in the Miami game for most of it. I thought we played the first 10 minutes very well offensively with him spacing the floor and hitting shots. So I think we were up big on Miami early. But then he went out in that game, came back in the Orlando game and was just rusty and broken. I think he's very important in our offense. Mm-hmm. And, unheralded this season. I don't think we talk enough about CJ Miles and his shooting and what he brings to this team. And he's playing a lot of nights the power forward position. And, just doing a great job, not letting big power forwards bully him too much. And he had a nice game in this. And I think, you know, his efficient shooting and rebounding as important to talk about as Jan's game.
Yeah, so. You're absolutely right. And that was something that Joey and I both were talking about during the game, because you could really see it live and in person that he's struggling physically. I think his back is giving him problems, and he just looks kind of like an old man. It's like having a hard time getting around.
Mm.
But kudos to him for gutting it out, right? And as you said, doing really key things to contribute when he is out there. If we had the luxury to sit him down for a game or two to get his body right, in the long run, it might be a better thing. But at the same time, you're in the midst of a tough road swing, so you want to try to get as many of these ones as you can.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of an ugly week, but we walk out of it 2-1. That feels all right. It easily could have been 3-0. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look ahead to next week and see what our chances are there. Tonight, or I guess as you're listening to this podcast, listeners, last night the Pacers played at Houston. Joey and I are going to be in the building for that.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
That's right.
Get us a win, guys.
We will try our best, yeah. And then Tuesday, the Pacers host the Phoenix Suns, who are in complete disarray. So the Pacers really need to capitalize and get and win this ball game.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they are terrible.
So is it Marcus or Marquise or whatever, whichever twin got left behind in the trade, has like completely destroy their team, right? He doesn't even play anymore, but like the team chemistry is just awful.
Yep.
And he's doing everything he can to sabotage this season. And now they're talking about firing Hornacek, right? The coach, and it's not his fault. Nobody likes each other. And
yeah, and well, we talked about this in the preseason previews that we didn't understand what was going on in Phoenix, like how they were constructing their team. And I think it's starting, those chickens are starting to come home to roost.
Didn't I like predict that they would win like some stupid low amount of games?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like
a stupid high amount.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go back and listen to that because I'm pretty sure I'm always right. So sure. Just assume whatever I said is what's really going on.
Okay, so that's Tuesday. We talked way too much about the Suns.
Oh, sorry. We're just going to beat them. That's all. No, that's going to happen. Yeah.
So Tuesday, the Pacers go home briefly and then right back out on the road, a back-to-back at Boston on Wednesday. That game's on ESPN, so tune in for that. And then Friday, back home briefly to play the Wizards, who are also not playing fantastic basketball lately, although they've been getting their act together a little bit. So a week where, you know, there's an opportunity for it to pick up some wins, and got to do that because the very next week we go back out on the road for a four-game West Coast swing, including a game against the, what are they now, 34-2 Golden State Warriors. So, yeah, pretty critical to get these home wins and winnable games on the road.
So is Boston the game of the week then? That seems like a, I don't know, is that the toughest one?
Well, probably tonight's game at Houston, I think, is the toughest one. But Boston always plays us tough.
Let's
make Boston the game of the week. The ESPN thought it was a good enough game to put their crew there. So
that's true. I'm really curious about your impression of Houston, like whether their team chemistry is as terrible as I think it is. You know, I need the need you guys watching the huddle and seeing if Dwight Howard cares at all, and you know, stuff like that. Let me know.
Yeah, we'll see. Apparently people in Houston are bigger fans of basketball than in New Orleans, because we could get pretty good seats for a pretty good price in New Orleans, and at least so far ticket prices in Houston are significantly higher. We might be having to bring binoculars into the game, but but we'll give you a report for sure.
Just don't bring a laser pointer into the
Yeah, I am excited to see James Harden, though. He's another guy that I have never seen play live, so that'll be fun. And I get the impression that that Houston is a big basketball city, or that they love the Rockets, so it should be a good crowd. Because that was one thing in New Orleans, the crowd wasn't super into it. You know? Especially after I think everybody there loves AD, and then once he went out, they were like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Ajinsa? All right.
Yeah, we need to get downtown.
Yeah.
Get to
go literally light it on fire.
We have to edit that out if there's a.
But literally means figuratively. Now we're good.
Right. Words don't mean anything.
That's right.
Words just mean what you want them to mean.
There's no judge in the land that would prosecute me based on that.
Literally, that's. Probably, maybe true. Let's go get some tacos.
Yeah, get some torchies.
Woo.
Oh, so yeah, shout out to somebody for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to hashtag Muscle Man.
There's some people in a contest that clearly earned it from my awkward misstep there.
Was an awkward misstep one of your bands as well?
That was all my bands.
Yeah.
Were awkward missteps.
We should get out of here. We've got to close this down. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. Thanks for all the tweets we've been getting. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. A lot of likes. We're posting a lot, having fun. We're the face. What are we? The Facebook. TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We have t-shirts for sale. You can also find those on TV when we got shown on TV during the New Orleans game.
And for our once and always coach, Bobby Slick-Leonard, turn out the lights. The party's over.
Hotel Wi-Fi. That band was pretty good.
I mean, they were in the really cutting edge sort of electronica music you know, captured cityscape sounds. Urban noise pollution, one might call it.
Cityscapes is a word I would associate with Hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And noise pollution, for sure.
Yep.
we didn't ever hit it big. But
there was, I mean, that one track, Spotty Scape, was, it had a little cult following, I thought.
I mean, I would say more we changed music than we got popular, you know? We were pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Why is that a saying, by the way, pushing the envelope?
Hmm.
I think it comes from fighter pilots or something like that.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
I think so.
What does that mean?
It's like the envelope of
destruction?
Yeah. Airspeed.
Envelope of destruction. That was the name of my band in college, which is weird.
Oh. Yeah.
Pretty aggro, right?
Envelope of destruction should have been a album title for Anthrax.
Yeah.
To be very apt.
Oh yeah. Why wouldn't they use that?
Well, their minds don't work like ours.
I'm going to use a strongly worded tweet and change that.
Sure.
Are they still making music? I couldn't tell.
God, I hope not.
What do you care?
That's true. Hey, you know what? Everybody should be making art all the time.
Keep doing your thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, people let me keep doing this crap.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly right.
More as in they can't stop you.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.